5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on.
Your mama says that through the week you can't go out with me. But when the weekend comes around, she knows where we will be. Kissing in the back row of the movies on a Saturday night with you. Oh, holding hands together, you and I. Holding hands together, yeah. Smooching in the back row of the movies on a Saturday night with you. Oh, we could stay forever.
Radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all, and hello, listener. It is Thursday night, 9:30 Central. What that is elsewhere in the country, I have no idea, because I can't keep up. It's come round quick. Scary. And it's been, nothing really's happened this week, to be honest with you. It's all been a bit dull, but we're just Houston sweating our whatnots off, because it's like been summer since February and it's bloody hot at the moment. So about to turn my air conditioning off, because that's all that I've come over on the radio. But anywho, without much further ado, I need to bring in my trusty sidekick. And I think we all know who that is.
I do need more to drink. I do. I'm not nearly hammered, sloshed. I'm not nearly.
So, hey, well, you need to, first of all, you need to drink. I'll tell you what we'll do. Here we go. We'll open another bottle for you. Here we go.
Yes. I need one. I do. It's been a weird day. It's not been, I can't really say it's been a bad day. It's just been, you know, I had car trouble and just excitement. So if I'm talking really, really, really fast, I'm not on drugs or anything like that. I'm just hyper and so I need to calm down.
Take a deep breath and calm down. Calm down. It's panic room. I guess what it's called, a panic room. So it's a good time to panic, I guess, really. But so, yeah, do you know, I'm trying to think of what's been going on this. Do you know, absolutely nothing. It's just been a very nondescript week. It's been sort of work and it's been hot weather and it's been routine. And I mean, I've been sort of working and I guess I've been productive, but it's hard to tell really some days. I guess because I've been sort of editing, I've been editing my collection up for, and I finally finished it to get off to the editor. And it doesn't, you know, because it might, I know, but it doesn't feel like you've done anything because, you know, you get to the end of it and you've still got the same stuff that you've still got the same, but it's a novel or collection or whatever, you've still got the same stuff. It's the same stuff, you know,
and I
just don't feel like I've been productive. It doesn't feel like productive time to me because I'm not creating, I'm not taking a blank page and putting stuff on it. It's just like, well, I've got the same, whatever it is, you know, dozen or so stories that I have when I started. And okay, the spelling's a bit better, but you know, so a bit deflating, a bit deflating. So what I thought I would do, I think we're going to have a big due to popular demand from our listeners, and we're going to have Fruit Fly Corner. Here we go. Fascinating fact. Here we go. Tonight's fascinating fact. Did you know the fruit fly Drosophila bifurca? It's only a few millimetres long, but its sperm is 6 centimetres long. Can you imagine that?
Oh, wow,
that would be like a human being producing a single sperm that was like 15 feet long. So there
Whoa.
You go. There's your fascinating fact from Fruit Fly Corner tonight. There you go. And I think it's going to be a regular feature. Regular feature.
Fruit Fly Corner.
Well, because and to balance it out, we're going to have Extina's Baseball Corner, and I've got a jingle ready. Here we go.
Strike one.
I've two words to say to that. Shite. What's the other one? Shite!
So, what's been going on in the wonderful and exciting world of baseball this week?
Okay, you can get your nap real quick, but I'm like super excited, and you know what? I wanted to call in sick tonight just on account of baseball because my team, when I left to do the show tonight, my team was 9-0, so we were like beating the other team by 9 points, which is amazing. And then our pitcher, Marcus Stroman, he got a home run. Now, in case you have no idea how big that is, when you're in an American League team, the pitchers don't bat. They only bat when they're in like a National League park, which they are in tonight. So the pitchers, they don't bat. They don't have been much experience up to bat. He got a home run. It was amazing. I even tweeted to them, and I was like, "Yeek!" I'm so excited. It was like fangirl moments. And if they score something, I have like a radio on, and if they score something during the show, I might squeal. So if I do that, you just have to ignore me.
I will definitely ignore you. Yes, go Jays, Blue Jays or just
Yay,
Jays?
Yay, go Jays!
Go Blue Jays. There you go. Well done that team. Well done that team. That's dull, to be honest. Yeah, to be fair, I think Fruit Fly Corner is a lot better.
No, we should take a poll because to me that was so exciting. I was like, okay, I'm going to make you fall asleep, and I don't want to do that before the show, so I'll be quiet now. But I was bubbling over. I was so excited.
Well, excellent. So, hey, so yeah, I am pleased for you. That's great. He said in a patronising tone.
I chose to ignore that.
We do have a show. We have the dark romance authoress Marissa Honeycutt joining us, and we've got M. Robinson, USA bestselling author. We've got Becky the reviewer, which is exciting. After our halftime, we're going to announce our first competition. We have a little contest for our listeners. Yes, we are. Oh, I should have mentioned this in pre-production, shouldn't I? Hey.
Yeah, don't we have meetings and stuff?
Yeah, you were too busy trying to get your car started. So, anywho, moving swiftly on before you start droning on about your car, we have. And before we get her on, I just want to clarify that Marissa is going to be reading live, yeah? Because you threw me a curveball, again, Vance Boy, threw me a curveball last week. Didn't tell me it was pre-recorded. I don't think the listener noticed. There's lots of things going on behind the scenes. But we did that, and it was a mighty fine reading as well. So okay. Well, look, I think before we do, we probably need a word from you know who.
Grab him by the pussy.
You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things. Like, lots of things are done with uranium, including some bad things.
Thank you, Mr. President, for clearing that up. Now we all know a little bit more about nuclear fusion, nuclear fission, and uranium. So there you go. Clears it all up. I think what I'm going to do, for next week, I'm going to try and get Kim Jong-un on. We'll invite him onto the show. See if we can get him on to come and talk about, you know, annihilating the West, you know, for a laugh. So we'll see if we can get Kim on. If his representatives are listening, and I'm sure they listen to the show every week, get Kim to give me a ring, and we'll see if we can squeeze him in next week's show. Although we do have P on next week, so he's going to have to take a back seat to P. So there you go. Anywho, hopefully, again, we'll recount our little mantra. AT&T willing, we should have. Marissa on the line. Are you there, Mom?
I am.
Hey! Hello!
Hello!
I'm sorry, I hope we haven't phased you. We have some big guests on the show. We have the president on the show, you know, and, you know, Xtina's baseball corner. The excitement never starts, does it? It really doesn't.
I could still go on and on if you wanted about the baseball, so you better
Xtina,
be...
Xtina, just shut up, seriously, just be quiet. You are boring me to tears with it, I really don't.
You have to at least pretend to like me during the show.
No, I don't.
You have to pretend.
No. So, Marissa,
he can like
how are
you without not liking baseball.
Exactly. There you go. I couldn't have put that better myself. There you go. So shut up about baseball. Nobody cares. Marissa, how are you, my dear?
I am doing well. This is a first time for me. I've never done a podcast. I don't think anyone's really ever heard my voice before, any of my readers, so this will be new.
Wow, yay. Awesome. Well, we're glad to have broken your duck, which is a cricket term, actually, so which is better than
baseball.
I thought
it was cherry.
Well, I was waiting for him to say that.
I was trying to steer away from sexual references. I've read what you're going to be reading out shortly, so I'm going to leave all
that's
that to you.
That's a mild scene. That's a very mild scene I'm going to read.
I need to buy your book. I really do. It's awesome.
Yes.
It is steamy stuff. So anyway, before you do the reading, just give us a bit of background to the life of Anna. I'm excited by this. Go on.
Okay.
Sorry, she's on the spot
Anna,
now.
I know. That's what I'm doing. The Life of Anna is the story of Anna, of course. She is a ballet dancer, and she has her whole entire life has been, unbeknownst to her, orchestrated by one of the most powerful people in the world. And it's not the president, it's the person behind the president that wants to control the president and everything else in our world. So there's a little bit of political conspiracy in there. There's a whole lot of sex. There's some romance. There's sex. There's violence. There's sex. Did I mention there's sex?
So, Marissa, is there any sex in this book at all?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. That's. I'm glad. I thought I'd ask because you didn't mention it. So. Oh, the tagline is great. The tagline is dark, erotic depravity. I mean, really, that is probably the best tagline I've read ever. It's brilliant.
I knew he would like that.
I would buy the book. If you just said those three words to me, I would buy the book purely on those three words alone. So I'm sold. So go on. We need the reading.
Are you ready for that, Marissa?
Are you ready?
I think so. I've never read my book aloud. It's always been nice and comfortable in my head. I actually did have a reader tell me that she had been using her WhisperSync or something on her Kindle and reading it while she was driving to work. And I think she said she almost ran a red light because of something that happened in the book.
Oh, wow.
Dangerous
awesome,
stuff.
Though.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay. So I just start?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's all yours.
Could you start now before Xtina starts prattling on about baseball again, I would be so, so grateful.
I'm done
really
about
grateful.
Baseball. I'm done.
I could do you at any time, Xtina. You've been warned.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So this is from the second book in the five books. It's not five individual stories. It is just one story broken up into five pieces. So this is the second part. Okay, here we go. Okay. Devon looked around. They all were staring at Anna's sobbing form on the coffee table in front of them. She had curled into a ball and was hugging her knees to her chest. No one moved. He glanced at the immortal standing stony-faced a few feet away. Kava raised his brow slightly, then nodded to Anna. Sorry, I have to change the page. Devon stood and went to stand in front of Anna. Who do you belong to, Anna? You, master, she whispered. Devon yanked her down to the edge of the table and pulled her legs apart. She whimpered as he undid his pants, but was clearly too hurt to run or fight. He would have to elicit pain in his own way. He pushed her legs up to her chest and positioned his cock at her ass. One strong thrust was all it took to ram himself through the tight ring and deep into her ass. She screamed and arched her back at his entry, but he didn't wait for her body to accept him. He thrust repeatedly, stretching her forcefully to adjust to his presence. After she was sufficiently open to him, he pulled out and moved to her pussy. He moved back and forth between her pussy and ass. When she stopped reacting, he paused for a moment, concentrating inside her, and brought his spikes out. She screamed again, and Devon smiled. Several thrusts in each hole with the spikes would ensure plenty of blood flow from her body. Blood was necessary to fulfill the requirements of being chairman. When he felt ready to climax, he pulled out of her and dragged her by her hair onto her knees. She looked up at him, giving him the same look she'd given Oscar, but he could withstand it. He stared back. "Open," he commanded. She opened her lips and accepted his bloody cock into her mouth. He grabbed hold of her hair in two sections to ensure she couldn't escape, then slowly began to fuck her mouth. Down her throat several times, she began to choke and struggle against him. He was too large to allow any airflow when he was in her throat. She pushed back with her hands, but his grip held her steady, and he ignored the grunts and held her head in place. "Oh yeah, fuck yeah," he moaned as he fucked her throat. There was only a short moment between each thrust, not enough to get enough air. Her face was red and beginning to darken more as her need for oxygen increased. She continued to try to push away, but was unable to beat his strength. Her eyes rolled back into her head, and her struggle lessened, and he knew she was close. He brought forth his spikes and gave several more thrusts down her throat, ensuring the tissues were shredded. By the time he came, her body was limp, and blood trickled out the side of her limp lips. He released her, and her body slumped to the ground. There were several exclamations as the men stood to look at her unmoving body. Blood trickled from her mouth and between her legs. Marcus came forward to check her pulse and shook his head. "She's dead," he said in a low voice. He glanced at Devin, who looked at him impassively. Devin walked to the bathroom to clean himself up. When he returned, the men were quiet and staring at Anna's battered body. He calmly sat down and glanced up at the immortals, talking quietly to one another. The immortals turned back to the elders. "Devin has shown himself willing to do what it takes. Do you accept him as your chairman? "Yes," the elders replied. Devin smiled to himself. "Then we will install him tomorrow night at the gathering," Kava said solemnly. They turned to leave. "Immortals, I would ask that you restore life to my mistress," Devin said in a firm voice, standing with his chin high and eyes narrowed. He would show his power over the immortals. This was their plan. Devin was shown to have power over them in exchange for a few favors for the immortals. "You killed her willingly," Val said, turning back to him. "It cannot be undone." Devin's eyes narrowed further. "I am nothing without her. Restore her life," he demanded with a clenched jaw. Kava frowned. "Elders do not give orders to immortals." "I am the chairman, not a mere elder. Chairman may give orders to the immortals, and they must obey." He heard murmurs of assent behind him. "Restore her." Kava narrowed his eyes, then knelt beside Anna's body. He picked her up and carried her into the bedroom.
I remember. Yeah, when you sent the excerpts and I read it, I sometimes I don't read them. I just send them over, you know. And but I read that one, and I was like, oh my goodness, I can't wait till she reads that.
That was. And it, you know, it's probably a mark of my age and that. As you're getting through that, I mean, obviously, one of my first concerns was obviously when he was going between her two holes, hygiene issues, really.
Oh yeah, I understand that.
But then he just you know, for our PSA for our listeners, don't do that. You know, if you stick to one hole, if you go to the back door, as it were, don't go back to the front door because it's unhygienic. You infection yeast.
Well, but then again, you know, he ended up killing her, and I'm sure we don't have to tell our listeners not to kill the women. So,
Yeah, there's that. But I mean, I suppose on the plus side, he did kill her, so she wouldn't then have to worry about potential yeast infections. So it kind of worked out.
Well, that is true. You know, but by now, Devin has also been well established as a very, very, very evil man. So yeah,
he's not a nice chap, is he? He's not a nice chap.
No.
So you say it's a story told in sort of five. Have you sort of serialized it, or how does that work? Is it like a novel split into five, or is it five novels that tell the story, or how does that work?
It is one story split into five books because I couldn't afford to publish it all at once. It's over 600,000 words, the entire story.
Wow.
Yeah. And can't even put it in one paperback because it's so big.
Right.
Even Stephen King has struggled with.
but people tell me that they binge read it, and they'll read it within just a few days.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Well, you know, a good story is a good story, you know, and that is good stuff. I mean, you know, wow.
Very dark. I love it.
Seriously?
You say it was a mild scene?
Yeah, there's a lot worse.
Oh, I'm gonna have to. I think this is the time. This is the part of the show. We're gonna call it Jim tries to blag a free copy corner.
we sometimes fight over that part. So.
mm, mm.
Well, the first part is free.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, you can try it out, and if you can't handle the first book, don't go on to the second one because it gets much darker.
Where would we find that? Where would we find that for free? Anywhere
ebooks are sold, so like Amazon, Smashwords, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, Kobo,
pretty much
anywhere. Just look up The Life of Anna, and part one is free.
That.
And then if you like it, the rest of them are $2.99 each, or if you have a Kindle, you can get the complete story for $9.99.
Wow. I do have a Kindle. I love my Kindle, actually. I did not like it at first, actually, because I'm a purist. You know, I still like paper. I still like, you know, look and feel and touch of paper in my hand. But Kindle is because I read a lot now, from subscriptions. I read, obviously, you know, try to read guests' work, whatever. And it's brilliant because I can just take it around and, you know, I'm kind of used to it now. But, I just bought the most recent Joe Hill book because I wanted it in Dead Tree version. So, you know, there's some books that...
The last time I moved, I have a ton of books. I have bookshelves and I really couldn't just keep carting them around with me, and I went and I picked out my favorite ones. But every time I would go into the room with the books, I would find more that I wanted to keep, and then I thought, why? I never read paperback anymore. I always read my Kindle, so I ended up parting with a whole lot because I figured I could get them on Kindle. But yeah. I mean, I
stockpile them. Every now and then I'll take them down. They have one of these... bookstores that, you know, the second-hand bookstores, you take a batch of books and you take like 30 books and they give you $5 for them. But it shifts them, and it's a good excuse to drag the kids to the bookstore so they can see what a book looks like. I think my boy, I think he's scared of them, to be honest. He's frightened of books. They terrify the book. My daughter's fine. She loves books. I mean, they have a book fair at a school sort of every semester, and she always buys a couple of books. So, she's a bookworm, I think, like her dad. But my boy, if it's not electronic, it frightens him. So.
Yeah, you know, as much as I've always been a reader, I've always had a book in my hand, and, you know, that's what my kids always saw growing up. Do you know, out of the two of them, the both of them, neither one of them like to read at all. I don't get it. I mean, I was never without a book, so you would think that... they would have picked that up or something, but no, they didn't.
No, this is gonna make me sound bloody old. Kids these days, you know, I read a lot, but then again, we didn't have, you know, 300 channels on the TV, and we didn't have PlayStation and all the rest of it. You know, I remember the day. Literally, it's gonna make me sound old. We had old black and white TV. We had two channels, literally two channels. We had BBC. In Yorkshire, that was it, two channels. And when there was nothing on the telly, there was nothing on, literally nothing on. If we didn't play out, we would sit and read, and that was our entertainment. And kaplunk.
And you definitely didn't have the baseball channel.
I'm pleased.
Okay,
that's the
thing.
I mean, it's the thing with the base. Is it baseball has a World Series, but nobody else can play in it. I mean, really? What's all that about?
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I'm not talking to either one of you now.
it's like having the World Cup and only England and Wales can play in it. I mean, really? So, Marissa, I mean, darkly arousing stuff. I mean, where do you get your inspiration from for this?
My own sick, twisted imagination.
Oh, I like that answer.
Awesome. So who do you read? Or is I can't imagine there's many out there published that's any darker than this, really. I mean, who do you read?
You know, honestly, when it comes to reading books, I am a complete wuss and watching TV
really?
Shows. I mean, I can write this. What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't. I was trying to read one of the Anita Blake Vampire Hunter books, and I was like, no, it's too bloody. I can't read it.
Oh my goodness.
Awesome. I love it.
Funny.
I am such a wuss. I was reading my my editor is also an author, and I was reading her book the other day, yesterday, and it was about a guy and a girl, like late teens, early 20s, who were kidnapped into a sex trafficking ring. And I was texting her. I'm like, "You're killing me. What's going to happen? Who's going to die? What's going to happen?" She's like, "Now you know how I feel when I had to edit Anna." I'm like, "Thanks a lot."
Right, right. Funny though.
Well, I shall have to send you a copy of my most recent novel, Flanagan, which if you are squeamish, okay, then it will you will be hiding behind the sofa. Guarantee it. I will send you a copy.
It's good stuff.
The cover's
kind of creepy.
The cover's scary, actually.
It did. You know, that's a funny thing, too, you know, what you're talking about. And, you know, here I am priding myself on being the dark poet princess. But, you know, if it's thunder and lightning outside, I'm going, "Oh, my God, it's thunder and lightning." You know, it is kind of funny. And I write things that are dark and creepy and, you know, creep out, you know, family members and boyfriends and stuff, but to be honest, I'm kind of a wuss too. I really am.
Well, you know, I think that's probably part of it. You know, we write what frightens us, what disturbs us. I mean, my most favorite book I've written is Peed, which is about killer giant centipedes, because I've said this before on the show, giant centipede is the only creature on this planet that creeps me out. Too many legs. Far too many legs. They're magnificent creatures. Looking at it with a zoologist's eye, they are magnificent, beautifully evolved creatures. They've been around hundreds and hundreds of millions of years. They predate the dinosaurs. You know, they're gorgeous, you know, but they creep the fuck out of me. I just don't like them. I really don't. Between those and my wife's chihuahua, the only two creatures on this planet I would merrily stamp to death, really.
You know, I've never come across a centipede in real life, so I don't really know how I'd react.
They
I
just,
don't either.
They just,
I live in the desert, though, so we get scorpions.
Yeah, where
which
do
I'm
we find centipedes?
Of.
Where are they, James? Where are these centipedes? Where do they come from?
You find them in sort of damp. They're like damp places. They, unlike a lot of arthropods, they don't have a waxy coat, so they lose moisture very quickly, so they can dry out and die very quickly. So you'll find them like
Arizona, and you'll never see them.
Well, do you know? It's funny enough. We moved to Texas from England. Sort of. I mean, the centipedes in England are like an inch and a half long maximum, and they're just, even then they creep me out. But the biggest is the Vietnamese yellow leg, which grows to around a foot long. But we moved here, and then my son was in the Boy Scouts at the time, and they had this thing, this event, and they had, you know, like these mini beast people who come and they have snakes and spiders and all this rest of it. And he had in his crate, he had a big centipede. This thing must have been like 8 inches long. And nobody told me this before we moved here. It's a Texas giant centipede. And at that point, I very nearly went back to England. I know you didn't tell me these fuckers lived here. And apparently you can have infestation. Houses get infestations of them. So you can just suddenly find your house full of it. Because they live in the you've got a basement or foundations, and they live in where it's a bit dark, a bit damp and whatever. And they are aggressive predators. I mean, they will take out, you know, they can take out rats and mice. You know, they're that big and aggressive. They will give you a nasty bite.
I'm
going to
have nightmares,
you know,
about centipedes tonight now.
You need to look up my novel, because you'd never sleep again. I mean, and again, back to the original point, I wrote that from a position of, you know, I guess, fear, you know, because these things haunt. I just really, you know. And as a result, you know, even reading the book back now, it makes me shudder, because
wow, that's pretty good when you can make yourself shudder from something you wrote. That's awesome.
Yeah, but like I say, as Marissa was saying, because it's come from the depths of my brain, you know, which is where that fear nestles. Then of course it's gonna frighten me. Of course it's gonna give me that reaction, because I've written my fear. I've written My Darkness, and I think this is what Marissa's done here. She's written her darkness.
Right.
I was going to say, are you married, Marissa?
I am.
You are your poor husband. Wow, is he still alive, or is he sort of, has he still got both eyes? I mean, is he sleeping in small pieces in the basement in acid? No, he's just dissolving my poor husband in acid.
We're going to need to speak with him.
If you need to get him on the phone now, or we're phoning the police, just in case. We'll give him a tip off. We need to go to Marissa's house, but we think she's been on air half an hour. We've not heard from him.
We've only been married for about a year.
Yeah.
A little over a year. So he married me knowing.
Cool. So there's time for you to kill him yet then?
Yes.
Excellent.
No, I'm
going to keep my eye on the newspapers.
Definitely.
Well, I tell you, I mean, God help that poor man if he dares to leave the toilet seat up, because God only knows what you're going to do to him.
No, I'm actually a pretty nice, non-aggressive person in real life.
Yeah, is that because all your aggressiveness and darkness comes out in your work?
I think so. Well, see, I wrote Anna not ever intending on sharing it with anybody, because I didn't think there was anybody as sick and twisted as me. So I was just trying to get the story out of my head, and then I found out there's a whole bunch of sick and twisted people out there that like my story, and it was a complete shock to me.
No, that's brilliant.
I love it.
Sorry, I'm going to have to ask him if it's a spoiler alert, do say, but does Anna, is Anna brought back to life then?
Oh, of course. That's only like two-thirds of the way through the second book.
Right. Oh, that's good. I know, but it could have been the life of Anna, but it could have been that they did kill her, and then it could have been a retrospective. So, but I'm pleased I know that Anna's okay, ultimately.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I can sleep tonight.
I don't know about ultimately.
So giant centipedes willing, I can sleep tonight.
Oh, that would be
a
pretty interesting collaboration right there. Anyway, you got to include the centipedes there, just for James.
Well, I have imagined in the book that I'm writing scorpions and other desert bugs coming into the equation.
Yeah, scorpions. We used to have pet scorpion. My stepson, we bought. He did a great school project on scorpions, and so we bought him a pair, and they were awesome. You know, the big black one, the big emperor scorpions, which you could play with them. They're awesome. They're fine.
That's
tarantula.
That's my centipede.
Yeah.
Scorpions.
I've handled tarantulas, scorpion. I mean, you know, we have snakes at home, and we've got like a 12 foot python upstairs, as you do. That's fine, but yeah, show me a centipede and I will either run screaming like a little girl or stamp up and down until it's mashed into nothing. And it's funny,
I'm going to start collecting pictures of centipedes for you to share with him.
Yeah, so we're going to tag them and tag him in them all. I would love that. That's great.
Oh, somebody did that. Was it Mitch? Mitch did it the other day. He put this big, fat, purpley red thing. And he's, I don't need that.
I saw that too, and I thought of you.
Thanks. Yeah, everybody thought, thanks a bunch. That was great. But having said that, I'm actually sort of tentatively planning P2, so I think there's going to be a sequel. So.
Oh, awesome.
I'm
awesome.
Sucker for punishment. Sucker for you haven't read it. You can't be asked to read it, so shut up.
Seriously. I still have it, and I still have to read it. I did start it. With the day that I got it, and I have to say I love your writing, and I love the detail. You have such great detail, and that's the creepy part I think about James's writing, is that you can see it so well. And then there's also the fact that you know with Colton, you could smell it too, and that's, I don't know if that was a good thing. I don't know if
yeah,
that was
is,
a good
it
thing.
Is, it is a very it is, isn't it? Now you mention that, it is a very sort of smelly oriented. It's funny because I like it's in my writing. I like to evoke smell because of the way the brain is wired. Obviously, because the smell goes into your head and it's the closest sense to your brain. So it's the sense that tends to evoke memory more than anything. So I like to evoke smell because if you can put that mental image, if you like, in somebody's head of a particular smell, boom, and all these memories flood back, you know, and I like that. I like that.
Yeah,
even
still kind of...
The smells are never pleasant, though, are they?
Yeah,
it's never
I'm still
daisies.
A little gross, you know, grossed out by Elizabeth. She still gives me the Wiggins, you know. That's what
She's
I think
one of my
smell.
Favorite characters.
Like,
one of my favorite characters.
Oh, God. Well, I hate that we are pretty much at the end of our first segment here, and it flew by way too fast. I say that every week, but it is like we just blink and it's over with. So, Marissa, tell us where we can find your books and where we can find you online.
Let's see. I have a website. It is www.marissahoneycutt.com. I am on Facebook almost constantly, so I love talking to readers, both new and old. You can find me there. Just, you know, type in Marissa Honeycutt. What was the other question?
Let's see. What was the other question? Oh, where your books, where we can find them.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They are, sorry. They're available pretty much everywhere iBooks or anywhere eBooks are sold. So on Amazon, you can find them on Smashwords. I have, if you're not quite into that dark of book, there is a softer book, I call it my Fluffy Bunnies book, called Distorted Hope. It's still very dark, but for me, compared to Anna, it's Fluffy Bunnies.
Wow.
And then there's a sequel kind of to Life of Anna called Abandoned Grace, which is an interview with Devin Anderson, which was really interesting to write. But, yeah, my books are pretty much anywhere. You can find ebooks. You can find them. There's links on my website. And, pretty much anywhere, ebooks, Barnes & Noble,
awesome.
All that kind of stuff. It's available everywhere.
So are they available in paperback as well, or just ebook?
I do have, they are on paperback. Most of them, you can get them all through Amazon or through my website. You can order from me and I'll sign them. And a few of them you can get through, like, Barnes & Noble and stuff. But some of them, to sell them on the... like Barnes & Noble and stuff, I had to increase the price too much, and it got ridiculously high because they're really thick, big books. So Amazon's your best bet to find the paperbacks, or my site, of course, and then I sign them for you.
Awesome. I might just do that.
I want to thank you so much for coming on the show, and you have to promise to come back.
I would love to. This wasn't nearly as scary as I thought it was going to be. So thank you guys for inviting me.
I'm pleased we've not scared you off too much. That's great. It's been wonderful chatting to you.
It is.
I
will
thank
never
look
so
at centipedes the same way, though.
Well, there you go.
You.
I will. Do you know? I'm going to make. You know? I'm going to get a copy of that to you as well.
Awesome. That would be great.
Get a copy of that so you can. One of my reviews. Somebody said read it with a can of bug spray to hand. So.
Yes.
You've been warned. You have been warned.
Thank
okay,
you very much,
right.
Marissa.
It's been an absolute
thank
pleasure.
You so much for
thank
having
you
me.
So much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, no, we broke a cherry. That was awesome. And what a fabulously dark and, I'll say, moving piece. I mean, that was awesome. Awesome.
It was.
And
it's good
that we have had sort of dark erotica authors on who sort of bulk at the rude words, but not Marissa. No, she was full on.
I
was brilliant. Beautifully read. So
it was.
I like it. You know, this is what 50 Shades of Grey should have been. Had it been Marissa written it would have been a million times better book instead of the insipid shite that E.L. James turned out. And if you're listening, L. James, don't care. Don't care.
Oh, God. James said that. Everybody remember James said that.
Not necessarily the the view of the management. So there you go.
Yes.
Everyone is entitled to my opinion. So there you go. So hey, do we have commercials or are you
yes.
too drunk or what?
Yeah, and I'm always very ready for them. So hang on, because I'm not.
Yes, rustle of paper, rustle. Quick, think of something.
I was waiting for the song for some reason. I completely forgot. Okay, here we go. Whew, okay, we here at Hellbound Books would like to inform you that, following the appropriate rituals, a portal has opened and spawned a horde of hellish delights in which you mortals can partake.
You just burp there, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Halfway
no,
through,
but
you
something
did.
Popped up on my screen, and then I couldn't see what I was reading. Anyway, and I haven't had nearly enough to drink. Depraved Desires, our dark erotica and erotic horror anthology. Shopping list, learn your favorite author's shopping habits and confront them in the produce aisle. And the Big Book of Bootleg Horror, a sinister tome dripping with taboo things to make your skin crawl. All are available at your favorite outlets. Find your links to them at HellboundBooksPublishing.com. And finally, we at Hellbound Books are proud to announce our very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. Let's see, we have, here we go. In the mood for something steamy to read this summer, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslawmore.com. And don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media, our Facebook page, unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com.
And breathe. Well done. Well said. That's great. So, hey, we're gonna take a wee break, and we'll be back with Becky the Reviewer and USA best-selling authoress M. Robinson. So, we'll be right back.
Take you home, little girl.
there we go. A song called Can I Take You Home, Little Girl, which I think is Jared Fogle's theme tune. So there you go.
Awesome. I mean, back, I really liked it.
Back, yeah, Golden Oldie, back from the good old days when pedophilia was more socially acceptable, I think. So there you go. So anyhow, that reminds me to the competition. We thought we'd have a theme. Each of the three songs tonight are by a particular group from the olden days. So if listeners want to sort of write, what's our email? Do you know, I have no idea. Do we have an email for the show? And does anybody ever read it? What is it?
Oh God! What is it? It's the New Panic Room. Wait, what is it?
I don't know.
The Panic Room Radio Show at hotmail.com. I think, is that what it is?
No, it's not.
The Panic Room Radio Show at hotmail.com. That's what it is. Yeah.
Is it a Hotmail? I didn't know that. Who said that?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Is that me?
I email from you that every week. How do you not know that?
Do you?
Yeah. Oh my God. Do you?
Don't tell me anything, listener. Anywho, okay.
One second. The final score is 9-0. Woohoo! We shut them out. Woohoo! Okay, I'm done.
Yeah,
I promise.
Okay. What was that? So listeners, if listeners would like to email us with the name of the group featured in this week's show, they will win a prize.
How exciting is that?
I think the prize should be any paperback from the Hellbound Books library. So you can choose one of the books. Anyone, but they've got to get it right. So there you go.
Yes,
so
it is. And again, just to make sure, it is the Panic Room Radio Show at hotmail.com. I just checked.
The Panic Room Radio Show. What now?
Really? You're going to make me say it four times. Room Radio Show at hotmail.com. There we are.
There you go. So, okay, write in, readers, listeners, and somebody might win something. I don't know. I might even enter myself, to be honest, if I can win
something. You can't do that. That's cheating.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I think it is.
So, okay, so it is that time. It's the highlight of my week, to be honest with you, I have to say, because it is.
Oh, hey. Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
It's Becky the Reviewer. Oh, no. How are you, Becky the Reviewer? How are you this evening?
I'm good.
He gets a cute little thing like that, and I get a wine bottle cork. You know, I get a wine bottle opening. What does that say?
I tried to get him to use the fruit fly for you, but
oh God!
We did have fruit fly corner, which I think is going to be such a popular feature. I think.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, I think it's quite good. And what about the fascinating fact? I mean, I bet that's something you didn't know. We've learned about fruit flies. We've learned about centipedes. I mean, it is an educational show. So.
We learned about baseball. Who knew that fact about the pitchers not being able to bat very often? And I schooled you on some baseball.
You and I are not talking about baseball tonight.
I think the main difference there is, Xtina, that I really don't care.
I know you don't.
Becky, what are you going to review Green Eggs and Ham for us tonight? Yeah.
I thought about it, seriously, you
need to do that. What a great fantastic one of my little girl's favorite books as well. It's a great book. I love it.
It is a good one. But tonight I'm going to review a book called Cling by Jeff Menapace and Kim Bravo. I have read everything that Jeff Menapace has ever written. I love his writing. I mean,
we had him on the show before. He was awesome.
Yeah. He was awesome. Yes, he was a great, great guest.
He really is. Really, really, really smart, man, and really does his homework. You know, when he does his books, he does a lot of research and a lot of. I mean, he's an awesome writer. I was mad when this book was at the end of this book. Oh my God, I was mad because it was over. I was like, I want more.
Do you know, I it's the sign of a good book, but I hate it when it happens. Especially you're reading, you know, you've got like 20 pages left. Oh no, yes. No! And you try and read a bit slower. You put it down for a bit. I'm going to put it down. Yes. I'm going to pace myself. I'm going to read 5 pages at a time and have a break of an hour between just to span it out. You know, it is the sign of a damn good book, actually. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it is. And if you haven't read this one, I recommend it highly. It's really, really good. What's really neat about it is that, sometimes when people take a book that they're writing and they have like 2 or 3 different stories that all end up, intertwined together, I get lost along the way and have to go back and reread part of it because I'm like, okay, where did this person come from? This was never a problem in this book, ever. There's like three major pieces to this book, and he just brings them together beautifully. I mean, and it's got violence and love and, I mean, everything that you want in a book in it. It's just a total package. I mean, the man can write. There's just no doubt.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, this is kind of different for him too. As far as this is kind of almost post-apocalyptic, usually his is pretty mainstream horror. And not more far out kind of than what I'm used to. So this is definitely a different book for him, but it just proves that he can write anything he wants. I mean,
right.
Awesome.
And be good at it.
That's good. Yeah, I remember say we have him on the show, and he was. We must have him on again. Actually, he was great.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. So what was the name of that book again, Becky?
Cling.
By Jeff Menapace and
Tim Bravo.
Awesome. And that can be found at all the usual outlets, I presume.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Brilliant. Well, thank you for that. Next week, it'll be Becky reviewing Green Eggs and Ham. And maybe, maybe we could have a reading from Horton Hears a Who.
Ooh,
because
I
love that story.
No.
It is. Awesome.
I love the one fish, red fish. What is it? One fish. What, you know that one? The blue fish and red
fish.
That's
two fish, red fish, blue fish.
This blue
yes,
fish. Yeah.
That's what I love to read to my kids. I read that one all the time to my kids. So.
Yeah.
We have a whole collection
of Dr. Seuss upstairs. Yeah. I mean, brilliantly written. I mean, to say. I remember when I was a kid going mad after the Cat in the Hat. Everybody had to have like a Cat in the Hat book, and it was just like,
yeah,
it's just timeless. It's great stuff. Mm-hmm. But the Horton Hears a Who movie was pretty damn good as well.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that.
Mom took me to see that for my birthday.
Awesome.
She said, "What do you want to do for your birthday?" And I was like, "I want to go see Horton Hears a Who." And Mom was like,
awesome.
"Really?" And I, yes.
So what birthday was that? Was that your 8th birthday? Was that?
we won't talk about that.
Okay, moving swiftly on. Right, well, look, thank you so much for joining us. We shall look forward to speaking to you next week.
All right.
Well,
thank
I will.
You.
I mean, Xtina might not, but I will. Xtina doesn't.
I know.
She's that wrapped up in her baseball. She doesn't care about anything.
Well, she didn't mind talking to me tonight since her team beat my team, so,
We
well,
killed
okay,
your
gonna...
team.
Yes, you did.
Okay, goodbye. Okay, goodbye.
Bye, Max.
Vicky. Right, sorry, she's boring me there. Starting to bore me now. So, well, look. If you don't like the wine, I'm going to play your other jingle for again. I'm just going to pick up my time. Well, yeehaw and yippity-doo there.
That just gave me enough time to drink more wine. So, you know, thank you for that.
Awesome.
Did
no,
you
that's
take
great.
Another wee or something?
It's
perfect.
No, funny enough, I was reading through our next guest's reading, and the heat just is not turning down on this evening's episode. It's all going on. It's great. So I think we need to get M on the air, because I'm excited. No, not in that way. I'm excited to speak to M. Are you there?
Hi, how are you? I am.
Hi, M. Yay. I have to say, M, I think you were great in the James Bond films.
I get that one actually kind of a lot.
I can imagine. Well, so what were your parents thinking, just giving you sort of a letter for your first name? I mean, you know? Why?
I mean,
were they just not thinking?
They were just trying to keep it easy, I think.
I suppose, yeah, easy to spell, isn't it? That's great. I love that. So anyway, how are you? We digress. How are you this evening, my dear?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. We're good. We're having a fun time, actually. And it's flying by. It's just, you know, suddenly it's 10:30, and you know, I don't know. It's just wow. But no, I'm so excited to be speaking to you. It's great. So I've had a sneaky preview of your reading from Road to Nowhere, Book 2, and it is hot stuff. So please tell us more.
Okay, so Road to Nowhere and Ends Here, it's a duet. It's kind of like a Sons of Anarchy type, like a storyline. That's what storyline, but like, you know what I mean? Like the whole MC motorcycle club. And it's
no, Xtina loves the motorcycle stuff, don't you?
I do, and uh-huh. I love Sons of Anarchy. I do, so keep going.
So yeah, it has it's got that, and it is I guess it has a little bit of everything. It's got a love story, and it's got suspense, and it's got lots of angst. So that's the first book, and then the first book ends on a cliffhanger. The second book is the same thing. It has lots of angst, lots of drama, but it kind of turns into a little bit of a love triangle between two brothers and the heroine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
that sounds good. Sounds steamy stuff. Steamy stuff.
Yeah.
What is it? What is it about motorcycle gangs? I mean, obviously I'm a guy. I don't really get it. But I mean, what? Why? I mean, from a female perspective, why is it so?
They're bad
hot?
Boys. Girls love bad boys. I think that's what it is. You know, they're just hot, hot bad boys, and we're a sucker for them, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's the whole, like, you know, just I can't cuss, right? Can I cuss? There's no cussing allowed.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
No, fuck yeah. I mean, go for it.
I don't know the rules. So yeah, I think it's just the zero fucks giving kind of attitude.
Yeah,
I can go with that. It's a bit like the show, really. We just had one of our listeners just sort of point out that I did, and I suppose I should apologize. I did review E.L. James's 50 Shades of Grey as insipid shite. So that's zero giving a fuck, I think.
Definitely.
And I'm not gonna apologize. I have my fingers crossed. So ha. So. We need to get to this reading because I'm ready for the reading.
Before the reading, I wanted to say that I have been a fan. I've been a fangirl of yours for several years now, and I remember reading your VIP series, and you know, so I'm fangirling just a little bit here, and you know, to hear your voice, and you're just so adorable, and you're just so cute.
Oh, thank you. I sound like a little girl.
No, it's adorable. It is. I love it. So, okay, that's all. I'm done with my fangirl moment for a second there. So, the reading, yes, we have to get on to the reading.
Okay. It is M's here, and it is, okay, here I go. My head fell back the second I felt his tongue on me. The closeness of his mouth to my most private area was a feeling that had me grabbing the sheets in a frenzy, and he had barely even started to touch me. I expected him to be rough, but he was being so gentle, taking his time to devour me, making me wet for him and only him. Oh God, I whimpered in pleasure. He growled, returning his tongue to my heat, lapping at me, eating me like I was his favorite meal, making me go crazy with passion and desire while I battled the unrelenting feelings raging war in my head. They were merciless and unforgiving. He sucked on my clit harder, side to side, causing me to scream out his name in ecstasy. Within seconds, he was making me come over and over again, plunging his tongue in and out of me, using his thumb to work my nub, sending me further and further over the edge till I was free-falling, leaving behind everything my mind was adamant on showing me. I shook the entire time as he let me ride out my orgasm against his lips, only releasing me when I was done and couldn't take any more. He kissed his way up my body, stopping when he was just above my faint scar, causing tears to threaten my eyes when I felt his lips brush against it, letting them linger for what felt like hours but was really just seconds. Before continuing his descent up to my breast, with one hand he grabbed the back of my neck, keeping me close to his body, exactly where he wanted me. I moaned when his lips crashed into mine, bucking my hips off the bed, arching my back, silently requesting him to keep going. He smiled against my mouth, pleased by my subtle request, ready to give me what he wanted, what he craved, what he had been waiting for, kissing me long and hard. He reached over to his nightstand drawer and pulled out a condom, never once breaking our connection. My shaking hands moved hastily to his belt, undoing it as fast as I could, moving to unbutton his jeans next, using my feet to help him slide them down along with his boxers. He chuckled, taking in the expression on my face when I saw his hard cock jut free. I bit my lip as he rolled the condom down his shaft and into place, crawling his way back up my body when he was done. He caged me in with his arms around my face, gripping the back of my neck again, not wanting to lose our connection. Don't close your eyes, baby. I want to look into them as I make love to you. I kept my eyes open, my mind and heart battling against each other to close them. His hold tightened on my neck as he angled his dick into my opening with his other hand, gently starting to thrust inside of me, resting his forehead on mine, causing our mouths to part and sink from the feeling of becoming one. He stopped when he was fully inside of me, just wanting a moment to look into my eyes, memorize the sensation of him wrapped within me. My arms went around his neck as he slowly started to thrust in and out, wanting me to get used to his size and girth. Fuck, you feel good, he groaned, thrusting harder. How do you feel this fucking good? And that was the end.
Oh, boo.
Whoa.
No.
I need
you can't.
I need a fan or something. Cold water,
you can't,
a shower.
I think a jolly good cold shower after the show, I think. That was also beautifully read as well. You should we say it. Not to everyone, because some people's readings are not so good. But no, it's you should do audiobooks. I mean that was brilliantly read. A great excerpt as well. You really should have at least got to the inevitable end of that. But I like that. It's good.
Thank you.
We know what I'm saying.
No, I wanted to know, we've had some authors on the show that are, like James mentioned, kind of shy about reading, certain words and stuff like that. And I know that one time I read one of my poems from Dark Musings. I read it during the show, and this was a long time ago. But it had, I believe it had the word cock in it. And, I read the poem over and over and over again, but when it actually came time to read it out loud and I had to say the word out loud, I stumbled over it. I was like, oh, it was weird. But you didn't seem to have any problem at all. You just...
So, translate.
No, that was definitely, I'm a little flustered, I think. I think I might be blushing a little here.
I know I am, so.
Really?
Yeah.
You couldn't tell it.
That's good.
We're all friends here. We're okay. It's all good stuff. No, it's good. So, obviously you mentioned Sons of Anarchy. I mean, was that your prime inspiration, or, where do you get your inspiration from? For such steamy stuff.
For the sex scenes or my storyline?
Well,
or both.
Let's try. I'm trying to veer
yes.
away from the sex. I don't want to come across as some grubby old pervert, I mean, just in general.
In general, it's crazy. I get inspiration anywhere. It could be as easy as listening to a song or just something somebody says. It's so random. It happens like all the time. As far as Road to Nowhere and Ends Here, I wanted to write an MC type storyline. So I just kind of, I watched a few episodes of Sons of Anarchy, and believe it or not, I'm not that huge of a fan of the show. I think the show would have kicked ass if it was like on HBO or Showtime. Because I felt like they held back a lot, like they couldn't cuss and you couldn't really get too violent and stuff. So I felt like the show needed to be on like one of those kind of networks. So I don't think it reached its full potential. So I wasn't a huge fan of the show, but I did watch a couple episodes and I kind of got into the whole dialogue and the way they talk and kind of the clubhouse rules kind of thing. And then I had spoken to a couple of actual MC members and just asked them how, the club rules go, and just kind of asked them to tell me what they could tell me, because it's very, very hush-hush kind of thing. They don't really talk about it, at least, what happens behind closed doors type thing. So, they told me what they could, and the rest is just kind of my imagination.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's funny. I have a friend a longtime friend who I've known since she's actually babysit me, and her family, they belong to a motorcycle club, and I used to joke around. I'm like, is it anything like Sons of Anarchy? And she's like, I can't tell you. I'd have to kill you. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Tell me something. But she wouldn't, and I've known her. She used to babysit me, and she still wouldn't tell me anything. That's just so wrong.
Yeah, they're very, very hush hush about it. So I mean, they told me what they could tell me, and the rest was taken from pretty much, I tried to read some MC storylines and kind of get used to the whole way that they talk, because they do kind of have like a different kind of dialogue as far as like how they speak. I don't know if you've noticed this, but you know, they're not very educated, I guess is the best way that I can say
right.
it, you know, how they speak. That was probably the hardest part of the writing process, is kind of having to pick up on how their dialogue was.
Right. For me, I think that's one of the most exciting parts about writing a new book is the research that goes. And I have to say, and I'm, you know, of course I would never mention who it was, but we did have a guest on one time, and the book that she, you know, was talking about, it had an element in it that I was really interested in. I was like, oh, the research must have been so exciting. And she was like, well, you know, I didn't really do a lot of research, so it didn't, you know, I mean, it was just weird to me, because that to me is one of the most exciting parts, is when you're starting to do the, you know, the research and really get into the character and really getting into the setting. I just think that's the really fascinating, that part. One of my questions for you is, because, you know, I'm a fangirl of yours, and who do you fangirl over?
I get asked that question quite often, and I would have to say, if I would ever be able to meet at least my writing role model, have you ever read The Bronze Horseman?
Who's it by?
Paulina Simmons.
The name?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds very familiar.
Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of it. It's the Bronze Horseman trilogy. It's three books. They're a historical romance, and they're by far probably the best books I've ever read. And if there's anyone that I would fangirl over, I would probably even cry if I ever met her, just because of how amazing her stories are. Yeah. I think that's probably the only author I would ever just be like, oh, my God, I would get tongue-tied, you know, just standing in front of them.
I definitely had moments like that on the show, which is awesome. When we first started, we had a whole bunch of horror writers, and, you know, I didn't know a lot of them. So, you know, I didn't have the moments where I was, you know, in, you know, the fangirl moments, even though, you know, because I just didn't know them. And now that I, you know, I go out there and I find the erotica authors and the dark erotica and people that I read, and that, you know, when they come on the show, there's been times that I don't even know what to say to them. And there's also times that, you know, we gab so much that I think James is thinking he's getting the night off. He just sits back and, you know, I think he pays attention sometimes. See, he didn't respond, so he's not listening to me.
Sorry, I just nodded off there. I just wandered off to watch a bit of TV.
Right now.
And,
I can,
no,
yeah,
you can't.
I can talk about baseball. No damn it. I still can't do that. This is not a good segue here, but I was going to say, are you ready for the 11 questions, Em?
I am.
Yay.
Okay, well, we'll do the jingle then, shall we?
We shall.
And now, 11 questions.
Okay, what's your guilty pleasure?
Oh, goodness. My guilty pleasure, I would have to say caffeine. I am a caffeine addict.
Good one. Baked beans, ranch style or pork and beans?
I would have to say pork and beans.
Do you even know what ranch style? Because I don't even. We've had this come up before.
I have a tin in my pantry. I'm actually going to have to open it one day. It's been in about 6 years. I'll open it and see what it is.
Yeah, you need to take a picture and post it, because I don't even know what it is.
I don't think I've ever had that.
Beans. I'll
okay.
let you. It might have bacon right, in it or something. I don't know.
Puppies or kittens? Okay, question three. We got puppies or kittens?
Puppies.
Yeah. What's your favorite lunch meat?
I don't like lunch meat.
Okay. It's James messes with me because he says that I judge, you know, the answer.
She is very, she's judging you. She's judging you.
I don't know.
You noticed that? You don't like lunch meat? Okay, well, there's clearly something wrong with you then.
I didn't say that.
Well, I'm not have never been a big fan of lunch meat. I mean, even as a kid when my mom would have, like, make my lunches, I've never – I mean, obviously I eat it if I have to, but, like, I'm not a big fan of it. I don't know why.
Let's see. What was your first car?
A Nissan 360 SX.
Awesome. I'm just glad when people can answer that question, because for the longest time I could only tell you what color it was and that it was a convertible. I had nothing else, but I have since remembered, so I am like, whoa.
Yeah, I was just
okay,
I'm pretty sure it was that.
What do you fear most, snakes or spiders?
Oh, spiders.
That's the right answer.
Well done. No, you're not going to get judged on that one. Well done.
Freddy, Jason, or Pinhead?
Oh, goodness. Right. That I like or that I hate the most?
You know, I'm never too sure myself, so, you know, just
no,
whatever you
can,
answer,
you
I
can
guess.
You can interpret the question entirely how you want.
I'm going to go with Freddy on that one, just because he can get you when you're sleeping, and that shit's not right.
Right. let's see. First draft, handwritten or word processor?
Microsoft Word. I think that's word processor, right?
Yeah. Favorite alcoholic drink?
I'm not a big drinker, but if I am drinking, it's cider. So cider beer.
Do you like the Angry Orchard? Is that kind of like what you like? Or?
That's exactly what it is. Yeah, that's exactly.
Oh,
what it
I love
is.
That stuff. Do you like the green or do you like the red apple?
I like the red apple because it tastes like apple juice, and who doesn't want to get drunk off apple juice?
Right.
Yeah.
I love them both. I kind of go back and forth. We definitely have to drink together.
Definitely.
Number 11. Is one interesting non-writing related fact about you?
I'm not a morning person.
Ooh, we definitely have to drink together. I'm not either. I don't operate well at all until
Xtine is not really an afternoon person either, come to think of it. I mean, sort of early evening, she sort of starts, you know, coming to life.
Yeah, that is the, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And our bonus question, which is basically for me, as long as you answer correctly, baseball or stamp collection?
that I like, or that, what does that mean? Or just whichever
one? Yeah, definitely
one
that you like. Which one would you prefer if you had to choose between the two?
Oh, goodness. They both kind of, oh, I'm going to call it baseball, though.
See, I love baseball, and James thinks it's the most boring thing ever. So I think he had to pick something boring, and he picked stamp collection.
I picked something interesting.
No. Stamp collecting is not interesting. No.
It is. It is. I think next week we'll have a whole segment dedicated to my stamp collection, I think.
Not unless we can have a whole segment of Xtina's baseball corner, which would be exciting. And you're starting to do that weird demon thing. It happens every single week. It happens every week right around this time. It's the oddest thing.
I'm gonna complain to the people because I'm not off this.
I think you should too. Yeah.
I will. So I will. Okay. I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, so this is the time I can talk about whatever I want. And, you know, it's too bad you're not a baseball fan because he can't do anything about it right now. So with our few remaining minutes, tell us where we can find you. Are you Pip? Really? Is that how? Anyway, tell us, what are you working on now?
I'm actually working on El Santo, which means the saint in English. And it is I would say he's district attorney. So it kind of has the whole organized crime kind of situation, and a lot of suspense. And, of course, there's a tumultuous love story in there somewhere. So that is what I'm working on next. And that releases August 29th. I have just started timelining, so I should probably start getting to work here soon.
Yes, definitely, because do you promise to come back and see us? We should have you back, close to the release there. And I word it that way. Do you promise to come back? Because what are you really going to say? No, I don't want to. So I have to say it that way. And then I coerce people into coming back. She said it. We have it on tape. She said it.
Yeah, it's true.
So tell us where we can find you online and where we can find your books.
Okay. My social media is really easy. Everything is Author M. Robinson. So anything you go on, whether it's for Instagram or Snapchat or Facebook or whatever it may be, it's all Author M. Robinson. And then as far as my books, right now they are on just Amazon because I am exclusive to KU, and that's all of my books. But I release my stories live on all platforms. So I wait probably about a few weeks before I pull them and put them on KU. So right now you can just find them on Amazon. But if you are a paperback reader, you can get them off Barnes & Noble online. You can get them off Walmart online, and you can also get them off Amazon online. And it's the same thing as well. Just type in Author M. Robinson, and I'll come right up.
Awesome. And I actually think we have all of your links posted on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to stalk M, they can go there and do that. And I want to thank you so, so much for coming on the show. And I will definitely be stalking you on Facebook.
Aw, yay. Thank you so much for having me, guys. I had a great time.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to chance it. Thank you for joining us, M. We'll speak to you again.
You sound great. You sound good. You're back, James.
Oh, I do. Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks a lot. You have a great night.
No problem. Good night. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Right. Well, it is. It is that time. I'm glad I managed to come back and say goodbye, because I always feel rude when I don't. So
I know,
right? It's almost time. So remind our listener about the competition, if you can remember it.
See, you're back now. You can remind them. I don't know what it, oh my goodness! I drank too much or something.
Okay.
Can I use that for an excuse? You can get a book if you do something. What was the question?
Write into the email address, which is
the Panic Room Radio Show at hotmail.com. There we go.
And if you write in and tell us who the featured musical group of this week or three songs is, you will be able to choose. The winner can choose a paperback from the Hellbound Book Collection, and that is it. And I'm going to say good night, and you need to say good night, Xtina.
Good night, Xtina.
Now every day, those pretty feet come walking on.